Thank you, Sue. That was beautiful. And so glad, Ron and Sue, to have you with us today. I'm up here today because I was scheduled to speak last week when Joy was out of town and church got canceled. What a difference a week makes, though, isn't it? I think Joey was having mercy on me when he asked me to teach this morning, not wanting all my labors to go in vain. So here I am. So today I'm going to be speaking out of the book of Philemon, and I'm speaking on Philemon. Now, I taught on Philemon back at SPF a couple years ago, so some of you might remember that. I actually, every sermon I do is a new one, even if it's on the same passage, so don't worry about that. But I thought Philemon was a good place to go because I just finished teaching through the book of Colossians before Joey got here. And Philemon is a companion to the book of Colossians. The greetings you see in Colossians and Philemon, it's the same people that are with Paul that are saying hi. And there are other people that are mentioned in both books, such as Archippus, who apparently is the pastor of the house church that Philemon was a part of, possibly Philemon's son. And Onesimus is mentioned in both books, and Philemon and Onesimus are the main characters in the book of Philemon. That's why I'm speaking on that. But I'm going to start here. I'm taking a page out of Joey's book already. Pastor, you're being a model for your people. So the model here that I'm following is putting Oscar on the spot. So Oscar, can you tell us? I gave him forewarning. Can you tell us who your favorite superhero is? Batman is your favorite superhero. Now, what is it about Batman that made him a superhero? Well, I know a little bit about Batman. I'm not really big into superheroes, but Batman, unlike Superman or Spider-Man, he didn't have some weird power. But his power came from being a really smart guy who had all sorts of inventions like the Batmobile, right? And he put that into practice in fighting crime. So there was something in him in the way of intelligence and strength. So that's what I wanted to get to today because, I'm going to start this teaching on Philemon in the book of Colossians because Philemon is different than Paul's letters. Usually Paul's letters follow a pattern. He greets people, and normally in his greeting, he's including things that he's going to talk about later that are kind of foreshadowing what he's going to talk about. But then he goes into statements of truth about Jesus Christ that are also going to be applied later. And then as he gets through that, he goes into talking about particular issues that he wants to talk about with that church, but he's applying the theological truths and the things that he was talking about in his greeting as he's doing this. Because Philemon doesn't have those theological truths, it doesn't have the great statements about Jesus Christ. But Philemon, the book probably, it was written about the same time as Colossians to the same group of people, or a related group of people. And they might have been written at the same time because the same guy is delivering all these prison epistles written while Paul was in prison. So I'm going to start in Colossians chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 24 through 29 for you. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this ministry, which is Christ in you, and that's a foundational truth here, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. So yet we don't think of Paul necessarily as a superhero. But he had a superpower working in him. And what was that superpower? Oscar, you've been paying attention. Do you know what superpower Paul had working in him? That's a great answer, and that's a true answer. Paul had the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Rob read about it earlier. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, it will bring life to your mortal body. We sang about it. Jesus, alive in us. There was a power. All his energy, that's the energy of Jesus Christ, the energy of the Holy Spirit, working powerfully within Paul, was what was energizing him to bring the gospel to proclaim Jesus to his people. Okay? Let's see, I still have the clicker in my pocket here, so we'll see if it's still active. I'm going to start out by reading Philemon 6. So I'm going to talk about this verse for hopefully about half of this sermon. We'll see if I can stick to that. So, and this is in the ESV. And I'll warn you, NIV is a little bit different for this verse. And I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. This says, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. So we're talking about here what's in us. NIV doesn't have that construction, but as I said, I'll get into that. But let's go back now and read first. I'm going to read the first seven verses here all together, and then hopefully we can get on to verses 8 and to the end of the chapter later on. And Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to note the way these people are referred to. Philemon, our beloved worker, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and Apphia, and apparently Philemon and Apphia were husband and wife. Most scholars think that Archippus was an adult son. But at any rate, he appears to have been a pastor for the church that met in the home of Philemon and Apphia. And so this letter is addressed to Philemon first, but also to his wife, to his son slash pastor, and to the church that met in their house. Most scholars think that this church was in Colossae. If so, it was probably one house church in a larger group of house churches that formed the church at Colossae. And so this is a subgroup of people to whom the letter to Colossians was written. It may actually be that this was in the neighboring city of Laodicea, because the book of Colossians mentions, this letter to the Laodiceans too. Laodicea was maybe 10 miles away from Colossae in the same river valley. And then he tells them, read the letter I sent to the Laodiceans too. So is this the letter that he sent there? We don't know that for sure, but people speculate about this. At any rate, these two letters go together. And Philemon is referred to as a fellow worker, Archippus as a fellow soldier. So these were people that were involved with Paul. Picking it up in verse 4 again. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all saints. And I pray, this is Paul's prayer for these people, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. So let's look at this verse. ESV says, I pray that the sharing of your faith. NIV says it differently. It says, I pray that your partnership with us in the faith. So, you know, those have kind of different connotations of us. We think of the sharing of your faith as kind of an evangelistic type of thing, whereas your partnership with us in the faith is more of a community type of thing. So what is Paul talking about? And I'm going to suggest to you that he's talking about both. The word there actually that's translated sharing or your partnership is the word koinonia. This is a word that it's translated communion. It refers to, you know, our communion table. It's also translated fellowship. And so it's talking about something that's shared together. But it's not just kind of this passive sharing. It involves an active partaking with each other in something. So a fellowship where we are actively involved. So what he's talking about is a fellowship of faith that existed in the church. That Philemon was a part of this. It's your fellowship of faith. I'm reminded, this active part of faith, I'm reminded of the often repeated phrase in the New Testament and the Old Testament, the righteous shall live by faith. So this fellowship of people were people who were committed to living by their faith in company with each other as they related to each other. So there's a sharing in the sense of talking about this faith also. And I'm also reminded of the passage in Deuteronomy 6. This is where Moses gives Israel the great commandment. It's a part of the Ten Commandments. And I want to read to you a few verses starting in Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house, and on your gates. This is a good description of a fellowship of faith that the Lord desired for the children of Israel. He desires that for the church too. This is written for us also. That we have this kind of fellowship with each other where we are relating our faith to each other in this way. They'll be on your heart, these words. You'll teach them diligently to your children. That's a part of our fellowship of faith, is raising our children according to the Word of God. And talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way. We talk about our faith with each other in order to build each other up. Write them on the doorposts of your house. So it's not just for us, a closed group. It's a proclamation to the world that we are a part of something God is doing here, that we are part of a fellowship of believers, a fellowship based on our faith, and you're invited to be a part of it too. So I think all of that is contained as you dive into Philemon 6 deeply. Paul is praying that this sharing of faith that Philemon is a part of, he's a fellow worker in this, Archippus is a fellow soldier in this, that this fellowship of faith that these people are a part of may become effective. I want to talk about that too. What does it mean to become effective? Two words in Greek, and you might kind of recognize by the way they sound how they come to us in English. The words are energes and genetai. become. That, by the way, Greek has them in the reverse order that we would say them in English. Greek is kind of a Yoda-type language, like German. So instead of, you know, may become effective, he would say, as Yoda would, that may effective become. So first, the word become, genetai, generate, anybody? that idea is something that is becoming, is brought into causing to be. So he's saying, he's praying that this sharing of faith would cause something to become, cause something to happen among these people with Philemon and with his church. And the other word, energes. Energy? Anybody? Or energized? So he's praying, if we, you know, transliterate right into English, that that what you're doing in this fellowship of faith would generate an energy among you, would empower you. And I'm going to go back now to what I started out with at the end of Colossians chapter 1. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. This is what Paul is calling the Philemon's church to see that the faith that they share with each other to cause them to be energized, to bring a power to them. So what's that power for? So where are we so far? I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge. Well, what does that mean? Understand, and this is, by the way, one word in Greek. It's a, pardon me for getting into Greek. I don't always do this, but I kind of like to dabble in it once in a while. I'm not a Greek scholar. I know enough to be dangerous. it's a compound word in Greek, epigenose. Epi is a prefix which means upon. And gnose is knowledge, but it's a particular type of knowledge. It's not talking about a head knowledge, but it's talking about an experiential knowledge, a contact knowledge, a knowledge that you gain from living it, from experiencing, from contacting, being in contact with your world. And the prefix epi is saying, is talking about building on that. It's a growing knowledge that he's talking about. That's captured in the NIV version, where he talks about in deepening your understanding as opposed to having the full knowledge. So what Paul is saying is that he's praying that this sharing of faith that is happening among these people would cause an energy, would bring about a power that would bring them into a growing knowledge by experience of what? Of all good things that are in us. Here again, NIV has it a little different. It says of every good thing we share. I'll go with ESV on this because the words in Greek actually are in us. so of every good thing that's in us. So what's in us? We're talking about that. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus alive in us. The Holy Spirit alive in us. And these words go back to the gospel, and I'm sure intentionally so, because Paul is basing his ministry on the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, John 3, you must be born again, born by the Spirit of God. So, when we came to Jesus, God put his Holy Spirit, a new life, within us. That's our faith.
is that God planted his spirit in our lives when we came to him, and that makes all the difference in the world. He is in us. Later on in John 14, when he promises the Holy Spirit, there's some interesting phrasing, and I actually didn't, I don't have those verses tagged here, but he says something about I and the Father are with you, and we will be in you. So the Holy, it's something very Trinitarian about that, that the Spirit is promised to be in you, which also means that the Father and the Son will be in you. That is the gift that we have and the power that we have that Paul is calling on here in Philippians, Philemon. I want to read a similar prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, because this is a prayer. Paul prays similar things for his people. Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. Ephesians was written also from prison, one of the prison epistles, along with Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, although some class Philemon as a pastoral epistle. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Similar prayer, isn't it? That you might be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and follow the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And this is a similar concept to what Paul is praying in Philemon. But I find it interesting that he puts in Philemon, he puts this in the context of the sharing of your faith. It's the sharing of your faith, the sharing of our faith. And let's put this, bring this to us, because we're meant to read this also. This is meant for us as well as Philemon's church. That our sharing of faith with each other, our having these truths on our heart and talking about them as we sit in our living rooms and as we walk in the park and teaching them to our children, this fellowship of faith that we have as we put it on our doorposts, figuratively if not literally, we are believers in Jesus Christ. That this sharing of our faith, the prayer is that it would generate an energy. You know, if you're just going to sit and just be a quiet loner Christian, that's not going to happen. But as you share in this fellowship of faith, something is supposed to happen in you. It will energize what God has put in you in the Holy Spirit, is what Paul is saying. As you participate in the sharing of your faith, there will be an energy happening in you that will bring a growth in your understanding of how the Spirit works through you. It will give you a spiritual growth, bring a growth about, and a knowledge of every good thing that's in us. Then it says, for the sake of Christ. That's interesting because it's actually two words in Greek, not a for the sake of, but the word is strange. See, it may be translated unto Christ or in Christ. The word is literally means into Christ, like you penetrating into Christ. But we want to penetrate into Christ, don't we? These are the things that we have in Jesus Christ, okay? So now I want to go to the rest of the book of Philemon to see how this gets expressed now, though, because Paul starts out, verse 8, he says, accordingly, or in NIV, he says, therefore. So based on what I've been telling you here about this sharing of your faith, accordingly, though I'm bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he's indeed useful to you and me. I kind of like that because Onesimus literally means useful. And so Paul is parenthetically saying of Onesimus, yeah, his name means useful, but formerly he wasn't useful. Now he is useful. I'm sending him back to you, sending that very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I preferred to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you. By the way, that again is echoing back to the name of Onesimus. I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping that through your prayers I will be graciously given to you. And then the final greetings, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The backstory, of course, and you get that, most of that, even while reading this, the backstory is that Onesimus was a slave of Philemon's, and he took off. So he was a runaway slave. At that point, Philemon had a right to do, in the Roman legal system, he had a right to do anything he wanted to Onesimus. He could beat him, give punishment, and he could even have him put to death because a slave had no right in the Roman world. But Onesimus ran away, and Rome is a distance from Colossae. I mean, you'd first go to Ephesus, which is the capital of the region, about 100 miles away, and then you'd probably, find a way to get on a ship and sail to Rome, which is a few days' sail, and there you're in Rome, the big city of its time, where you just kind of get lost and no one will find out that you're a runaway slave. But somehow, in Rome, Onesimus ran into Paul. Now, I don't know if he knew Paul from before. He may have. It appears that Paul did not plant the church in Colossae, but Paul was working in Ephesus for about 3 years. And that's how the church in Colossae got its beginning, is people from Colossae heard the gospel in Ephesus, and they brought the gospel back to Colossae with them. So he might have met Onesimus during that time, but at any rate, Onesimus ran into Paul in Rome, and he became a believer. And then he worked with Paul. And now Paul is sending him back to Philemon with this appeal. But what I wanted to focus on here, and I better flip the pages in my notes here for a minute, so I don't entirely lose my place. Paul says, I'm bold enough to command you to do what's required. yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. Why is Paul appealing to Philemon rather than telling him, Philemon, you really need to set this man free? Obviously, Paul did not believe in slavery. and he wanted to see Onesimus set 3. In verse 14, he says, I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. Now, why would that be? Don't you just want to get the right thing done? That's kind of the way we approach things in America a lot. We just want people to do the right thing. It doesn't matter what the motivations are. Just do the right thing, right? So you're parenting your children. Just do the right thing, whether you want to or not. Well, you know, sometimes you need to say that to your children. you need to do the right thing. But what you're really wanting to see is hearts that are in the right place. And so we've just been talking about how this fellowship of faith, the sharing of your faith, can generate a knowledge of every good thing that's within us. It can build up our faith. If Philemon was going to do something out of compulsion, it wasn't going to do anything for building up this. Paul wanted to see Philemon acting out of his faith in Jesus Christ as a part of the sharing of his faith, to now apply his faith in Jesus to this situation with Onesimus. And that's what God desires of all of us, is to apply our faith to our situations in life. Not to do, sometimes you've got to do what you're compelled to do, but not to be living out of compulsion, but to live by faith. The righteous will live by his faith. And sometimes that means, as you're engaged with someone, I really don't want to do it, but I know I should, to really get your heart right to do that, so that you're acting out of faith. And this is what Paul is asking of Philemon. Take this into your heart, and then I appeal to you for you to act on a heart that's full of faith, that you can then do the right thing out of your faith and not because I have commanded you. Because that's going to have a benefit for Philemon. That's going to give him growth. So that's from Philemon's point of view. Well, how about Onesimus' perspective? Man, what a fearful thing. He got away from that. But I think Paul understood with Onesimus there was something the same going on here. Was it doing Onesimus any good to be living in a violation of the law? What a thing to have hanging over your head. To be fearful of ever running into Philemon for what might happen to him if Philemon finds out where he is and, you know, sends the authorities to arrest him and bring him back to who knows what. But here he is. And I envision Paul saying, Onesimus, it's something you've got to do. And he was probably calling on Onesimus also to do this out of faith. Right? I find it interesting in the letter to the Colossians, he mentions Onesimus is with Tychicus, who brought the letter to them. He's there too. He's one of you. How interesting. If those letters were written at the same time, I think maybe they were. You know, he's signaling to the Colossians, he's one of you. But don't see him as a slave. See him as one of you. But that's what he tells Philemon. No longer as a slave, but as a brother. That's the reality. But here's Philemon returning as a runaway slave. But again, I believe what Paul was looking for Philemon was to live by his faith in doing the right thing, and that would bring a growth to him. That would bring an awareness of how God works in the world, and would bring an energizing of faith in his life. So, no longer a slave, but as a brother. So, did it work? I love the Bible doesn't tell us any more about these people, but history tells us about a couple of them. Philemon and Apphia's wife, we don't hear about again in history. But history tells us that the pastor of their church, Archippus, by the way, Archippus, when Paul wrote to the Colossians in the greeting at the end of Colossians, I have to turn there because I don't remember the exact quote. The second to the last verse in Colossians is this. And say, now to the Colossian church, and say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you received in the Lord. So I don't know if that's a soft rebuke or if it's a word of encouragement. You know, you've got a ministry in the Lord, so, you know, pick it up. And here this letter is written to him too. So there's something going on in Archippus' life. Well, something happened with Archippus. He apparently took up this ministry that he was called to, because the church history tells us that he became the bishop of Laodicea, which was the neighboring town, probably. And so a bishop was a pastor of pastors, overseeing all the churches in a region, which would have included the Colossian church. So Archippus obviously saw something happen here. He was part of a fellowship of faith and saw something dynamic that happened in the faith, so that faith and that power of Christ in him rose up. And I love Onesimus even more, because history tells us this. You know, Timothy was the bishop in Ephesus, larger city, probably covered the whole area, again, pastor of pastors. Timothy was like 80 years old when he became a martyr for preaching when the people in Ephesus didn't want him to preach. There was a riot, he died, according to the church history. The guy that stepped into his shoes as the bishop of Ephesus was Onesimus, the former slave, who, you know, was in following out his faith and living in this fellowship of faith. Something of the Spirit was activated in him. And he was empowered and became a leader of leaders. That is probably enough for today. I was going to review, you know, because Paul was not, we saw that in, I'll just go in a little bit. In Colossians, we get the what's a standard teaching in other letters in Colossians 3 taught on this. He's talking about the way to live with the people that you're immediately involved with. So husbands and wives, parents and children, and masters and slaves. Paul was not a soldier for the abolition of slavery. Slavery was widespread in the Roman Empire. But he obviously did not approve of slavery. He's calling on Philemon to set Onesimus free. But he was a soldier for Jesus Christ, which was different. Sometimes we look for political solutions to what ails men. Jesus did not go for the political solution. The people there would have made him a political leader. But he would not become a political leader because he had another mission. Because the answer for our world is Christ in you, the hope for glory. Political solutions, even changing laws, does not change hearts. On the other hand, a lot of changed hearts can lead to the changing of laws. I read somewhere someone said that this one very little letter in the New Testament had the greatest social impact on life in the Roman Empire. Think about that. I mean, I actually think, and this was someone who probably, writing, who probably did not understand the impact of Christ in you. but he saw that slavery, widespread in the Roman Empire, but as the church grew in the Roman Empire to where after, you know, 100 years, a couple hundred years, more people were believers in the Roman Empire than were not believers. Slavery began to die out, because how can it be when in the Bible it says, see, this person no longer is a slave, but as a brother. How can you then countenance slavery? Something happening from the heart. Something energized in the spirit that brought about a change in the world. Jesus wants to bring about a change in the world, but understands that that change starts with the heart of men, which is why I'm not a political activist. I'm a Christian activist. I want to see the right kind of change take place. So, amen. Let's pray. Lord, I pray, just as Paul prayed for the church that met in Philemon and Apphia and Archippus' house, I pray that our fellowship of faith, as we relate our faith to each other, as we build ourselves up in faith, that we would see that generation of energy among us to bring about a growth in our understanding of what power you have put in us, that we can live by faith in our world, and we can see the changes that you would see in our own lives, in the lives of our brothers and sisters, in the lives of our children, in the lives of our neighbors and the people around us, Lord. We pray that you would empower us by your Holy Spirit, because it's Christ in us that's our hope for glory. Amen.
Amen.